Hey, good morning, church. Welcome to Oceanside Community Church. Great to be back with you on this Sunday, and thanks for inviting us back into your home or wherever you might be. Well, today's kind of a special day because actually it marks the fifth anniversary of when Hannah and I first came to Oceanside to eventually be your pastors. And so you might be wondering why I'm standing here in the corner of the sanctuary, kind of off to the left of the platform with the music closet behind me. And the reason for that is actually this represents about where I would have stood 5 years ago when we gave that first message. So the platform used to be in the corner here. And so here's what the room used to look like. You can see this picture here. There was kind of a diagonal setup to the room, and most of what was the platform then is now a closet. And so you can see kind of how awkward that setup was. You had to preach behind the pole, and the screen was off to the side, so you were kind of facing one way, but had to look the other. Well, back then there only would have been about 80 chairs out here in the sanctuary, and now we have just over 250. In fact, that first Sunday when we came and preached, there were 60 people here, which really kind of represented our max reach, because of course everybody wants to come and hear what the new pastor has to say or preach their message, and then they're going to vote on you afterwards, which is a lot of pressure. In fact, that Easter in April 5 years ago, we also had exactly 60 people here. So that kind of represented, really, if everybody came on one Sunday, we would have 60. And of course, last Easter, last year, we had almost 250. And this year, before COVID-19 hit, we were anticipating well over 300 for our Easter services. So needless to say, a lot has changed in the last 5 years. But I'm hoping that one thing, and sincerely hope, will never change. And that's the center or heart of what we do here at Oceanside. And when we came to what's called, you know, preach the call, which is just that message you preach before the congregation then votes on you to be their pastor or not, we purposely preached a message that we wanted to be really a prophetic call of what we wanted to be about as people, as a church, and just moving forward, that would really capture the core of who we are as a church. And that is to be bringing people into deeper union with Christ. And that was my title then, Union with Christ, and that is my title this morning on the fifth anniversary. A while back, I had this idea to re-preach that one message on the fifth anniversary, and who knows, maybe we'll do it every 5 years from here on out, just as a way to mark time. But I'm going to do that this morning, although it's quite an edited and shorter version of that message. But the two scriptures that I want to grip your heart this morning are John chapter 15 verse 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. So in John 15:4, Jesus says, "Abide or remain in me, and as I abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me." And then 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in the Spirit." So what is the goal of the Christian life? What is the starting point for all Christian activity and service? What are we called to first and foremost as Christians? Well, this morning I want to talk about a theme that is prominent, probably even at the forefront of the scriptures and the history of the church when it comes to answering this question of the goal of the Christian life. And that theme is union with Christ, or said another way, having the heart of God. If you ask me, what is your heart for this church? I would say that we would be drawing people into deeper union with Christ. We articulate this through our key vision words of, not that one, this one, fully devoted, fully mature, fully alive. If you ask me, Joseph, what is your dream? What is your heart for your kids? I would say for them to be people of deep union with the heart of God. So in order to give you a better understanding of the concept of union with Christ, I want to talk about four things regarding it. So union with Christ, you see the outline here on the slides. What is it? The definitions. What is it like? Descriptions. How do we attain it? Through dependence. And what does it lead to? Desire. So let's begin with what is it? The definitions. And let's start with these two scriptures that really capture this mystery that is almost too deep for words. So 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in the Spirit. And then again, Jesus saying, abide or remain in me as I abide in you, and that we cannot bear fruit outside of him. So union with Christ refers to the radical union of the human will with God's will. So that my will desire essentially becomes the same as God's will or desire, what we might call having the heart of God, or what Paul calls being in Christ, which he mentions over 20 times in the book of Ephesians. To long for the union of our will with God's will is to long for our hearts to be like the heart of Christ, to embody the prayer, not my will, but yours be done. Union with Christ is to love what he loves, to love as he loves, that our hearts would break for what his heart breaks, that we would have the feelings of his heart. So let's look at some just imagery that might further help us understand and imagine what I'm talking about. Christians throughout history have sought to articulate this mystery in beautiful and varying ways. So let's talk about what's it like. Descriptions about union with Christ. If you start reading the all-time classics of the Christian faith, you'll find that union with Christ is both the means and the goal of the Christian life. And it's maybe the most prominent theme in those writings that span the centuries. And so it should really get our attention. We should pay attention. Martin Luther wrote that the goal of the human life is union with God. At the heart of Calvin's spirituality was what he called mystical union with Christ. In his famous book, Imitation of Christ, Thomas A. Kempis, the book really isn't that much about imitating Christ. Actually, the starting point for the spiritual life for him is all about union with Christ, and that is the key theme of the spiritual life, according to him. So let me just give you three images that might help you help explain or help us imagine what this is like. So let me start with Bernard of Clairvaux. He's a 12th century theologian, monk, and reformer. And in talking about union with Christ, he says that to love this way is to become like God. He says, as a drop of water seems to completely disappear in a cup of wine, taking the wine's flavor and color, don't worry, this is grape juice, but taking the wine's flavor and color, he says, in the same way, it is necessary for human affection to dissolve and be poured into the will of God. So you see what Bernard is saying. He's saying, once this water is poured into the glass of wine, you cannot extract it back out. They are now one. In a similar way, Teresa of Avila in the 16th century, she says, union is like what we have when rain falls from the sky into a river or fount. All is water, for the rain that fell from heaven cannot be separated or divided from the water of the river. You see how her description there is similar to Bernard. Or it is like, she says, what we have when a little stream enters the sea. She says, there is no means of separating the two. And then she concludes, perhaps this is what St. Paul means in saying that he that is joined or united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him, quoting 1 Corinthians 6:17. So for example, there's a creek behind my house called Grandin Creek. Some of you have been there in the trails behind our house, or you might know of it, and it flows right down into the ocean in Qualicum Beach, and we can follow it pretty much all the way down to the ocean. And once you get down to the end of Grandin Creek, if it's at kind of mid or high tide, you can see Grandin Creek coming into the ocean. It's sort of like this picture here that you see on your screen, where the creek comes down and it pours into the ocean. And at that point, it becomes one with the water in the ocean. I can no longer go into the ocean and pull out the water from Grandin Creek. They are now one. They cannot be separated. So that's how Teresa explains it. And the last image I want to give you is just one that the Lord gave to me about almost 15 years ago. So back in 2006, I was on a trip to Thailand and Vietnam, and I was in a hotel room with some of my friends who were on the trip there. This was a service trip or mission trip, and we were praying in the hotel room. And as we were praying, the Lord just clearly dropped this picture in my mind, and it was of two strings being wrapped around kind of a ball over and over again, to the point where you had this ball of string, but you could no longer distinguish between the one string and the other. They were so intertwined. And I just felt like the Lord said to me, and I shared this picture with the group, that that is how I want my heart to be with your heart. So intertwined that you can no longer distinguish between the two, that they are now one. So just like this, you would not be able to separate or distinguish one string from the other, but they now make up one intertwined there. And so that has been my prayer for the last 15 years, is Lord, intimately entangle my heart with yours. So just a summary of these images is that union with Christ is the image of indistinguishable oneness. And my prayer is that this very brief survey of what union with Christ is and how it is described and imagined is enough to just kind of whet your appetite, so that where you say, yeah, that's what I want. That's the desire of my heart. That's the deep longing of my soul. But then the question would be, well, how do we attain it? So let me talk about dependence. See, there are a few shortcuts in the journey toward union with Christ, but God in his mercy has given us several graces or means of grace that help us in our calling toward ever-increasing union with him, to know him more deeply. So we enter into union with him through his word, meaning reading the scripture, through prayer, and then through the corporate church, his body of believers. But all of these things center around and depend on one thing, and that is the Holy Spirit. I cannot emphasize enough our desperation and complete dependence on the Holy Spirit when we want to align our will with his. To be united with Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 6:17, is to become one with Christ's Spirit. So therefore, to pray for deeper union with Christ is really a prayer for more of the Holy Spirit. It is only through the Spirit that we can cry out, Abba, Father, Galatians 4:6. And it is the Spirit himself that testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, Romans 8:16, which then enables us as children to know the heart of the Father. The Spirit is what makes union with Christ possible. God gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit to lead us into deeper union with him. And then the Spirit uses the tools of scripture and prayer and the church, the body, to then draw us closer to God's heart. So these are the means of union that help us align with God's heart, so that we begin to do what he wants us to do and naturally live in his will, because our lives then begin to flow more and more from that true vine, Jesus Christ, and therefore bear fruit worthy of God. And that's what union with Christ is meant to lead to. The last point, what does it lead to? Well, ultimately desire for the things of God. As we unite our hearts with God's heart, as we attach the branch of our heart to Jesus Christ, the living vine, then of course there should be a change in how we live our lives in the world, what we desire in life. the difference in starting with union with Christ than just trying harder to be like Christ is being Christ-like will become the natural outflow of living in union with Christ. Union with Christ, it's not about some, you know, private spiritual experience that is just for our benefit only. No, rather, union with Christ through the Spirit naturally sends us out into the world with love for the world. See, you cannot separate love of God from love of neighbor. And you can't separate love of neighbor from love of God. They both work together. And to enter into union with Christ is to want what he wants, to love what he loves, to desire what he desires. It's why the psalmist says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your hearts. See, the reason he'll do that is because if we're delighting in the Lord, then the desires of our heart will naturally be the desires of God's heart. And if our desires are God's desires, then he's going to give us those desires. Might need to listen to that again. So in terms of, you know, this is what union is all about, this intimate entanglement of the two desires, a life consumed by the heart of God. So let's just talk about this in terms of calling, whether paid or unpaid. I'm just talking about what you're passionate about, what you spend your time doing. In terms of calling, you might want to ask yourself, where is it in life that I most feel this deep union? Where do you feel God's aching heart for the world? Where do your heart and God's heart seem to just intertwine in a beautiful way? When do you feel closest to the heart of God? For some of you, it might be landscaping or gardening. Maybe it's working outside. Maybe it's taking care of the poor. Maybe it's when you're playing or making music. Maybe it's helping someone with their finances or working with numbers. Maybe it's bringing order to chaos through administrative acts. Maybe it's taking care of kids or fighting against injustice, cleaning or organizing or baking or fixing things for people. These are all ways we can participate in the heart of God. And my prayer is that you would do these things not on your own power, but from drawing from the deep well of union with Christ, so that all of these things are in joyful service to Jesus, his church, and his world. So this is a beautiful thing that we're talking about. But I have to tell you, it's also a dangerous prayer to pray for deeper union with Christ. It can be a tough road to travel. It means purification of our heart and giving up what we want, what we love, what we desire, what we think is important, what we value, and replacing it with the heart of God, what he values. It ultimately involves the way of the cross, the way of humility, the way of sacrifice, the way of poverty, and at times the way of suffering. To tap into the heart of God, it can be painful to feel what he feels, to love as he loves. It will break you and break your heart, but only in the best of ways. But it is a dangerous invitation, allowing our will to be changed and transformed to be more like God's. But it's a wonderful one. And so I hope you, church, will join me in giving your life to this cause, seeking the heart of God as the foundation of everything we do. I hope you'll pray that dangerous prayer of, Lord, draw me into deeper union with you. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Show me, Lord, how to love the way you love. And so let's sing these words, this prayer now in song. And as you sing this, just turn these words into a prayer. Just use this time to ask for deeper union with Christ. And then after this song, I'll close us in prayer. So this morning, God holds before you the open sea of his loving heart, the endless wine of his loving ways. And he asked this morning, will you allow the stream of your heart to flow into that ocean so that one cannot be separated from the other? Will you pour that drop of your heart into that quantity of wine so that one can no longer be distinguished from the other? Let's close in prayer. Our Father, if there is one thing we want to be known for as a people, it is to be a people who know, have, and live out the heart of God. In your mercy, make us one with you so that we would love what you love, feel what you feel, know what you know, see what you see, weep when you weep, rejoice when you rejoice, and so that we might be free from the things that are not of your heart, from jealousy, division, bitterness, slander, greed. May these things fall away as we tap into your good heart. Instead of those things taking root in our hearts, may our spirits increasingly become one with your spirit. Draw us into deeper union with you, the vine, Jesus Christ, so that we might bear more fruit for your kingdom. Amen. Well, we love you, church. We're praying for you and can't wait to see you again soon, at least next Sunday.